Welcome to the Queen City Preachers Podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
And we're here at Messiah Lutheran Church in Marquette, Michigan on a sunny, beautiful, wintry day.
Sunny, cold.
Winter. Hey, it's warmer than yesterday.
Is it?
It is. Okay. A little bit. You know, it's all relative.
A couple degrees in the teens, yeah. It's still quite cold.
It is, but the sunshine helps.
The sunshine is good. We got a nice layer of snow, you know.
Yeah.
'Tis the season.
It is, and it will be for the next, you know, 5 months, so it's great.
Yeah, 'tis the season, they said in June.
Oh, well, friends, thanks for being with us today. We are continuing in our Advent journey of texts.
Mm-hmm. We're still hanging with John.
We're hanging with John. Mm-hmm. God bless him.
Not the gospel writer, actual John.
Actual John, John the Baptist John. John, yeah. Camel hair and locusts and honey and... Mm-hmm. Hanging out in the wilderness, John, which yeah. We didn't speak about this last time, but I realized this sitting in worship on Sunday, listening to you read the gospel text. Mm-hmm. I was like, and he stayed in the wilderness until he started proclaiming the good news. So I was like, so this is a kid who grew up in the wilderness?
That's what it did sound like, didn't it?
And I was like, how is that not problematic and interesting?
Yeah. Was he there by himself?
Right. Were his parents there with him? But Zechariah, like, was a priest. So how does this work?
They said he was in the wilderness until he was presented to Israel.
Right.
So Jesus is presented when he's like 8. Right?
Okay. So maybe
like
it's
presented
earlier?
In the temple.
Right.
Kind of a situation.
So he's reached a certain age.
But like, what were they doing in the wilderness?
And where was Zechariah still working? I mean.
I don't know. What, did he just like go into the city for work and then come back out to the wilderness?
Who knows?
And what does the wilderness mean? Or are they like, did they like live on a farm? You
is
know?
It is it metaphorical?
Oh.
Probably not.
I got so many questions.
Yeah, I know. But I just, it dawned on me on Sunday. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
What's going on with his adolescence and his childhood?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And remember my little fun fact about locusts too. Do you remember that?
I don't.
That it's not actually bugs. The locust is also known as the carob tree. So he's eating that stuff that is the chocolate substitute.
The fake chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So.
They weren't actually eating bugs.
No. They're in the wilderness.
Yes, but.
Whatever that
they're
is.
They're in the wilderness.
So.
But now John's a grown man.
So who knows where he's been up to this point? We don't really
the
know.
Questions of John's upbringing.
Oh, it's interesting. These are the gaps in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder that that Scripture is not a narrative historical account.
No, it's a story.
It is.
It's telling a story.
And woven into that is purpose and truth and relationship with God and all that jazz. But man, sometimes there are some holes. And it's interesting to navigate those. So John is an adult now. We're arriving. He's proclaiming. And this is just kind of a wild text. And it's an interesting one for Advent.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting just period. Every time I read this text, I think of Jonathan Edwards and Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Oh, that's
and like
fun.
Just this.
Yeah.
This so
fire and brimstone preaching.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me read this text to y'all, and then we will dive into unpacking it and exploring what it means for us today and all that jazz. So this is Luke chapter 3.
We jumped into Luke.
Luke, right? So the Gospel according to Luke, third chapter, verses 7 to 18.
Yeah, and I think this text will feel familiar to people. But you'll notice the things that sound a little different, and that's very Lucan kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hear ye to this text,
hear
yeah?
Ye.
So, all right. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire."
Mm.
And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." And soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He said to them, Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Okay. All right. So.
Hey, man. Oh, what can I do to not get thrown into that fire?
Right? It's like, so John, is there a way out of this?
Just a little question here.
Right?
How do we not get there?
Just a little existential question. Just a little one.
Can you imagine, like, everybody's just standing around hearing this and just someone raises their hand and are like, excuse me?
Right? And, like, you think about this now, like, in the context of worship, and that baptisms are so pretty, mm-hmm. and kind of sweet. Peaceful and sweet. Mm-hmm. And here are folks at the river getting baptized, and John screams out, you brood of vipers. Yeah. And then they're like, wait, what do we do? Yeah. What do we do? Yeah. I mean, that this is not a sweet baptism scene.
No.
This is messy.
Yeah, and when I first read it, I wondered, you know, like, why is it that we have that reaction to this? That's like, this is scary. Like,
yeah.
This is not good, you know? Why is our, like, first reaction fear?
And I wonder if some of it is as a society, it's really hard to sit with unapologetic anger.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, when people are angry, we want everything to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be resolved.
Yeah.
And for John to be just angry without...
No remorse.
There's no remorse. Yeah. He's just angry.
And often we feel sorry for being angry.
Right.
You know?
And he clearly doesn't feel sorry for being angry.
I'm sorry, I'm mad at you for doing this thing that, like, obviously made it worthy of me being mad at you.
Right? Yeah. So I think that probably makes us uncomfortable, mm-hmm. at a deep level.
Yeah. And he's like, get your act together. Nobody here is, you know, not a sinner. So let's get going.
Which hits another nerve, right? Uh-huh. Which none of us like being told we're wrong.
Yeah, they're like, but it was not surely not me, Jesus.
Yeah, right. It's like, no, I did the right thing. I'm here getting baptized, yeah. Right?
Is it I?
Is it I? Yeah, and like, and what's really interesting is then the people that come forward, there are these layers to it, right? Of like who's asking and how this gets unpacked, right? Like it's that Luke is very intentional about how he tells this story, that when John articulates his anger about people's behavior, mm-hmm. then people ask, and it comes through this layer that the crowd. So it's first a generalized, right?
Mm-hmm. You brood of vipers.
Then tax collector, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they've got, you know, they came. Then soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So what is John saying here? Like, to these crowds, and what is Luke trying to tell us by naming mm-hmm. these individuals within this story?
Well, I like that within this version of it, you actually get some realistic things of what is to be done.
Absolutely.
That are
it's
real.
Really helpful.
Yeah, like, what should we do? Well, like, here's what you should do.
You got two coats? Share one of them,
uh-huh.
right?
And they're not hard things to do. They're just like, don't cheat people and care for your neighbor. It's pretty simple, you know?
On the surface.
True. Like, it's not easy, but it's also, like, doable.
It's very doable.
Yeah.
It's tangible.
And it connects back to that loving your neighbor thing. Like, what should we do? Well, just like love your neighbor and treat them well.
Right. But what it also does is it convicts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's easy to do, but it's basically, so when the crowd says that, it's like, yeah, you have two coats and you want both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the subtext. Or
I don't want
you're
them to
a tax
know how
collector.
Many coats that I have.
You've been wanting to, yeah, right, exactly.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, don't look in the closet. Uh-huh. There's that subtext to this, that mm-hmm. it's both liberating, but it's also convicting at the same time. And I wonder if that's a piece to this this story mm-hmm. is that God's judgment is ultimately liberating. Mm-hmm. Or,
but you have to be convicted to be liberated.
Yeah, I mean that's I don't know how far we have to we bark up that tree, but like yeah. at the same time, there's something true to some of this, mm-hmm. right? That there's an element in this that then in order to be freed, we also have to name that which binds us.
Yeah, I think I like this, like, don't run away from it kind of imagery yeah. better than the convicting. When I was reading about it, they talked about the brood of vipers as like a bunch of snakes escaping. like that's like a funny image, isn't it? Like,
or Indiana
can you imagine
Jones?
Just like,
no.
yes,
oh my
kind
gosh,
of.
Yeah.
Like just a whole bunch of snakes, like trying to get the heck out of here.
Right.
You know, that's what it is, right? He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Like
right.
if you continue it, like it's the brood of vipers running away.
Right. They're trying to escape.
Yeah. They're running away from God. And the whole idea, too, about we have Abraham as our ancestor. And it's like, well, you can't just like fall back on that. You know, you're running away from God, yet you think you like inherently belong to this group, but you're not acting in the ways that makes you belong to this group.
Yeah. Mm hmm. And there's an added element to this, that they're vipers.
They're snakies.
No, yeah, but they're also like, they are dangerous, striking
in running away,
snakes,
you're dangerous.
And they're running away.
Uh-huh.
And that instead of recognizing, I mean, in some ways that there's these layers here, that they're dangerous and running away, mm-hmm. but they're also, they don't realize who they are.
The power that
the
they
power
have.
That they have.
Yeah.
That they're failing to name that, mm-hmm. to see that, right?
And that connects too that in the running away from God and in the doing these things that are sinful, like think about like the tax collectors cheating people.
Right. Soldiers.
The soldiers extorting people.
Yeah.
That in the running away and you're being a viper, that you're hurting other people. It's not just that like you're just, you know, ambivalently roaming the world, just minding your own business, not following God. In not following God, you're doing harm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, that the snake is condemned in Genesis to mm-hmm. bite at the heel.
Yeah.
Right?
Whose heel are you biting?
Whose heel are you biting? And if we are the brood of vipers, who are we nipping at?
You should call right? everyone on Sunday a brood of vipers.
I was thinking about it. We'll see how that goes. it really is interesting.
But like on Sunday, those people who are there like came for a reason, you know? Like these people came for a reason. Like who is listening to John?
Yeah.
Like they came.
They did.
They showed up.
They showed up and they came. They came in that brokenness, right? Mm-hmm. They came as a crowd, as people that like their coats, as people that are that wanted money that they probably shouldn't have had, that mm-hmm. have manipulated systems, have corrupted corrupted by power.
And that's what we don't hear. We don't hear why they came.
No, they're seeking something.
But we can presume, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there like, must be something in this this message that he's giving.
There must be something that said, wow, that way seems better than the way that I've been going on.
Yeah, and what's really powerful about this is when we think about what is the message that John is proclaiming, right? Because John is saying, I'm proclaiming this message of repentance. Mm-hmm. Yet somebody else is coming with a baptism that is deeper than water, that is stronger than than just a rinse. Right. In some ways, John is still connected to this notion of ritual and holy washing that's associated with Leviticus and mm-hmm. priestly law.
Yeah.
So there's some elements of that. This still is bound historically into the community in a way that they would understand. And John is saying it's going to get deeper than this.
Yeah. Because that's the part that feels kind of like. Where's this going? Like, where's the grace? Where's the grace in this? Because this is not a grace-filled passage.
Oh, no.
This is the slap on the wrist. Y'all have been doing the wrong thing. Get your act together, and then we can talk.
Yeah, and the grace in this passage is ultimately, but Jesus is coming, and I'm going to proclaim the good news.
Yeah, and I think you gotta make that jump to, okay, Jesus is coming, but how will that be a change for the people in a way that this change that John is asking for isn't quite fulfilled. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what's the meat there? Right.
Well, I think that there may be meat in. So let's unpack this in two ways, because I think there might be two elements here that are worth exploring. The first is saying there is meat in that this is urgent, right? Mm-hmm. That he's said you need to change. Mm-hmm. So that this isn't like a slow, like, hey, have you thought about reflecting on how you're this is mm-hmm. you need to change.
Yeah. John's not going to be like, I'll wait a few weeks. It's like, let's get this done now.
Yeah, he's not beating around the bush mm-hmm. in any way, shape, or form. And so in some ways, I think that that might be some of the meat of this is part of the part of it is the medium of the message of how he shares it. Mm-hmm. But the other part of this is that he's sharing a message of right behavior that then leads to the question of what is beyond right behavior, maybe? Mm-hmm. Like, in some ways, is he foreshadowing? Is he saying, but there's something more here? Mm-hmm. Like, in that Jesus is coming. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say what that is, right? He just says, I'm not worthy to do this. Yeah. He's going to baptize with the Spirit. But, like, but does it leave this opening that says, you need to change because you don't really realize that there's so much more than just this, mm-hmm. that it's not really just about changing your behavior. It's about that somebody else is coming, mm-hmm. that there's something that God is moving. Mm-hmm. Or you know, I think about like C.S. Lewis and Narnia, Aslan is on the move, yeah. right? Like mm-hmm. that there is this movement happening and Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think there's something that, you know, we kind of like have that gut reaction, like, oh, you know, we don't want to be too moralistic.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where maybe we're hesitant here. But when we think about what John is asking, he's asking for morals for the people, but in a way that is not just going to benefit themselves. I think when we think of morals, we think of like being holy and whatever, right? And even mm-hmm. in the Jewish tradition, right, the rituals of like,
and in some ways, he's framing it as in it's communal. Mm-hmm. Morals are how you treat each other.
Yes, but yeah. these are different levels of morals that will impact the people that they serve, and also themselves. And like in this, you will be freed too.
Yeah.
And you can attain something that is, you don't realize it now, but is much better.
And so, is that the good news?
Yeah. And then coming back to why did they come in the first place? It's like, right. Did they realize in the first place that they were in this place of brokenness where what they were doing wasn't working for them in their lives? And they came to John and they found something new. And then how will that be fulfilled by Jesus? You know? And in doing, I think maybe when I think about it in doing it, I think I always come back to this, is that they won't be alone in doing it, right? Because John says you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Totally.
The Holy Spirit will help you in this.
Well, and honestly, too, like, they're not alone from the get-go. Mm-hmm. The first thing that Luke says is to the crowd, the crowds asked, right? That this isn't one person being like, John, I think I screwed up. Mm-hmm. This is everybody saying, what do we do? Because we recognize that something's wrong too.
Society's not going too well, which I think is a thing we couldn't ask too, right? Like when we look at the society around us, like things aren't going so great. How can we turn this around?
Yeah, what do we need to do?
Mm-hmm. All of us together. And that's maybe the most powerful thing in this.
It is.
Is that it's really not powerful. About your individual sin or your individual morals or like, you know. I mean, whatever, you know,
no.
It's about what everybody in the community is doing to everybody in the community that's making the community work or not work.
Yeah. And it also reframes it to say that baptism in the context of community, mm-hmm. right? So that baptism is not in the context of just as an individual transformation. Baptism is in the context of communal transformation.
Mm-hmm. That's why we don't do private baptisms.
Right. It's also why, like, we have an affirmation of baptism mm-hmm. when folks join the church, why we
with
do
everybody.
It with everybody, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's this element of that we're in this together.
We're all
Nice. Right, but like, but that by being in it together, we all also reap the fruits of it together, right? Mm-hmm. Generosity, forgiveness, mm-hmm. Grace. Like this notion that transformation, that spirit gifting, comes to all of us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I find that helpful. It's also really kind of, it's interesting. This is maybe, we don't need to go down this rabbit hole too far, but like, but it's interesting to tie this back to that Luke as a physician, or hypothetically a physician writing, that the medical, the cleanliness codes were Leviticus, which were all about communal health and holiness as a community. And here Luke is saying through John the Baptist, hey, community. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to be community for one another through the lens of repentance and like to be faithful? What does it look like to be in right relationship with God? Well, it's reflected in how you act with one another, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So
if your neighbor's not good, you can't be good either.
Right.
Yeah.
Which totally, by the way, twists how sometimes this text gets used, which is fire and brimstone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not saved, you're going to hell, which is not what this is about.
It's
this
about
is entirely, it's not about personal
salvation.
It's about communal salvation, mm-hmm. that we're bound to one another inextricably. Mm-hmm. And dang, that's profound.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with my sermon, but that might be One Direction. That's cool.
You're going with One Direction?
No, I'm not going with One Direction, nor am I singing any One Direction songs. Sorry, folks. Sorry.
Harry Styles.
Oh, Harry. Anyway.
On that note.
Brood of Vipers, Harry Styles. Wait a second. No.
Yeah. It really took a turn.
It really did. Oh, my gosh. This is, but I think kind of as a wrap with this text today, reflecting on this, I guess I would encourage you at home, those listening to us, in the same way that I encourage myself to think about this text of saying what's going wrong in the world and where are the spaces and the places where I need to turn or change for the sake of the community, not just myself. Mm-hmm. Or that in reality, will I by serving the community also help myself in mm-hmm. some ways that often we think we help ourselves, first, and the reality is that John is reframing and saying, no, by helping the community, you're actually helping save yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess this holiday season, when we often do think about generosity, but we also often think about ourselves and our family and gift giving and all of this, mm-hmm. to encourage you and all of us to think about what does it mean to be community and to turn and to find healing or ways of giving. And repenting from ways that have hurt or have unintentionally separated us from being part of community in a meaningful way. I don't know. That's a pretty deep question. But
no, I think it's a good reflection question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on that note, friends, may this week of Advent be sunny. May it be chilly, as it already is. Mm-hmm. May there be vipers. But
just snakes running away.
Snakes running away.
Snakes on the move.
But may the snakes on the move help you see God's love.
Yeah. At least
I think
not
that's
on a
what
plane.
They're doing. At least they're not on a plane. But may they show you God's love. So friends, thanks for being with us. You've been listening to the Queen City Preachers podcast. I'm Pastor Andrew.
And I'm Pastor Molly.
Be well, friends.